You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and yes, I'm your host. Welcome, everyone, wherever you are listening, whatever time it is, whatever you're listening on. May you get the most out of these shows, and may the Father draw you to Him. Well, this is what it's all about in the first place. The Father is drawing His children to Him, and He wishes to have a relationship with them. And if you can sense that the Father is drawing you, don't push back. Good advice would be to come to Him and obey Him and let Him teach you and learn, and you can learn and obey Him above all things. You know, today I thought we'd do another one of these compare teachings, and I think I'll do them from time to time, because no matter how many times you listen to Comparé's teachings, it's like you heard them for the first time again and again and again and again. And it's important to know that kind of a thing. In other words, you know, when you listen to some things, it's like you don't learn very much. But every time you listen to Bertrand Comparé, you do learn quite a bit. And it seems like fresh. That's what I mean. It's fresh all the time. This one is called The Sheep and the Goats by Bertrand L. Comparé. And we'll see what it says. You know, there'll be a difference here, right? You can listen to the recordings that I cleaned up and this and that. But actually reading it as I read it to you and can comment on it, I think it may be a very nice type of thing. Let's begin with The Sheep and the Goats. Today, our newspapers, radio, television, every media of public communications are turned into a propaganda machine, flooding us with red-inspired propaganda against all discrimination. They demand complete integration of all races, first in the cafes and hotels, then in the schools, and finally in the churches. They have induced fellow traveler clergymen to preach integration from their pulpits. This fellow traveler thing was big in Freemasonry. Are you a fellow traveler? You know, these sneaky little snakes. It's amazing. So they have induced fellow traveler clergymen to preach integration from their pulpits. Can you say Billy Graham? You know what I think is funny about the name Billy? Billy the Goat, right? But in the Westerns, they had Billy the Kid. See? And then they had Billy Graham. I think it was a play for those who knew what he really was, that he was really a goat, not a sheep. And an inside joke, I'm sure. Billy Graham. Why wouldn't they call him William Graham? Right? Billy Graham. Billy the Goat. Billy the Kid. Though first they deny it, these propagandists now admit that intermarriage and mongrelization of the races is their real purpose. Sometimes they try to justify their activities by preaching false doctrines of a so-called universal brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God. You hear that? You understand that? Let me just read that again so you get it. Sometimes they try to justify their activities by preaching false doctrines of so-called universal brotherhood of man and fatherhood of God. See, Catholicism is universalism. And when you have Mamzers in the chat room, you're promoting universalism, the universal brotherhood of man. Let's continue. Of all satanic false doctrines, this is one of the worst. It is completely contrary to the Bible, which always teaches division and segregation of the races. Did you just hear that? Yeshua always said that he had come to divide and separate, not to mix everyone together. In Matthew 23, 31 through 33, he says, quote, "And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left." Note that this is not the judgment of individual persons, but a division and separation of nations. He goes on to tell how the sheep nations are given the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world, while the goat nations are cast into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Who are these nations? A sheep nation can only be a nation made up of sheep, and a goat nation, one consisting of goats. Therefore, let's find out who are the sheep. You who have listened to these lessons for some time know the Israel of the Bible, Yahweh's chosen people, exist today in the Anglo-Saxon, Scandinavian, Germanic nations, not the Jews. We have proven this many times and need not repeat it now. It should not surprise you to learn that Yahweh's chosen people, Israel, constitute the sheep nations, as the Bible says, for example, Psalm 100, verse 3. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Jeremiah 50, verse 6 confirms this. My people hath been lost sheep, and their shepherds have caused them to go astray. Ezekiel chapter 34 promises, behold, I, even I, will both search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, and he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Fulfilling these words, Yeshua said this was his mission in Matthew 15:24. I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He taught his disciples this was to be their purpose also. In Matthew 10, verse 5 and 6, we read, these 12 Yeshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, the goat nations, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. A sheep is a sheep by its nature, its race, and it can't become a goat by straying away from the flock. The goats run with the flock, but they can't make sheep out of them. You can't make a sheep out of a goat, and Yeshua never tried to. You see the point there? You see how these people think that we're supposed to go into all the world and make sheep nations out of the goat nations, or make sheep out of the goats of the goat nations? You just can't. And he never tried to. He's saying right here. As you already know, the Jews are not any part of Israel and never were. Therefore, Yeshua never tried to make converts of them. To the contrary, he always taught among them in public using parables, which they could not understand. You see, there's your, when you really think about that, this universalism just doesn't work. Because if he loved the whole world and wanted to save the whole world, he would have never taught in parables so that certain people wouldn't understand. That wouldn't be right, would it? That wouldn't be fair, would it? See what he says here. Therefore, Yeshua never tried to make converts of them, speaking of the Jews. To the contrary, he always taught among them in public using parables, which they could not understand. But Yeshua explained the parables privately to his disciples who were Israelites. He stated his reason for this in Mark 4, 11, and 12. That's 4, verse 11 and 12, Mark. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of Yahweh, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see, but not perceive, and hearing they may hear, but not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins be forgiven them. Accordingly, Yeshua told the Jews in John 10, verse 26 through 28, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. You remember in John chapter 8, he says, you cannot hear my word because ye are not of God, speaking to the Jewish Pharisees, the Edomite Pharisees. Same thing. Yeshua warned all Christians not to try to give the blessing of his kingdom, the blessings of his kingdom, to people who couldn't understand and appreciate it. In Matthew 7, verse 6, he commanded, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. But we always have to try and show him how much better we are than he is, so we always violate his commandments. Now, let me show you something, what I really think about this. Give not that which is holy unto dogs. Well, many of the two-legged beasts of the field are dogs, and there's a specific one that call themselves dogs, and they call their females bitches, which are female dogs. And then there are swine. And we know that the Jew is called the Marano Jew, which means swine. And the Jew has mixed with almost all of South America, etc., etc., etc. And, you know, the mud peoples of the world, right? I mean, where is Ishmael, as I always say? Well, a lot of them have been mixed with the swine. So he kind of puts it all together, you know, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. Isn't that what happens when we try to speak with these beasts of the field? The proselytizer that goes over to the African continent and tries to win them to Christianity often ends up murdered. They rended and killed them. And while they might pretend to accept this for a little while to gain some kind of monetary advantage, it isn't long before they're back to voodoo. Correct? That's why he says, don't waste your time with the dogs and the pigs, the swine. Don't bother trying to teach them your kingdom. Don't bother trying to teach them your scriptures. Look what good has it done. None. And it's not, as he goes on here, it's not just the scriptures. Listen to this. The pearls Yahweh has given us are freedom, wealth, and power. We cast them before the jungle savages of the Congo and the murderous hordes of China. As he warned us, they trample our gifts in the mud of their evil desires and then turn upon us to destroy us. Well, is that true? That is true. It's funny that he doesn't really say even the scriptures here. Oh, he will, though. Okay, I get it. It's after this. But you see, freedom, wealth, and power, we are the haves, according to Saul Alinsky and these communist pigs. And they want to bring these have-nots, these dogs and pigs, into our nation to steal from us, steal our power, steal our wealth, and steal our freedom. Is that not true? Can you not attest to that right now in this minute, in this day? Of course you can. They're trying to steal our freedom of speech. They're trying to steal our everything. They have stolen our wealth. Otherwise, you would be getting a check for your share in the nation's wealth, the gross domestic product. You're not getting that. Instead, you're being taxed. And more of your wealth is stolen. And wealth is power. We give that which is holy, our Christian religion, which the savages can no more understand than they can astronomical mathematics. They can't understand the Christian religion. I don't like to call it a religion, but okay. Which the savages can no more understand than they can astronomical mathematics. To those whom Yeshua calls dogs, and the natural, inevitable result is the many Christian missionaries in China are already murdered or slowly dying in prison. Many Christian missionaries are fleeing the Congo to escape being eaten. I guess I didn't have to comment on that. There it is. Do you think that we were supposed to convert the entire world? Men have said that, but Yahweh said to the contrary in John 17, verse 9. Yeshua said, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In John 6, verse 35, Yeshua said that he is the bread of life. In Matthew 15, 22 through 28, when the Syrophoenician woman asked his help as the son of David, the head of Yahweh's people, Israel, he refused. He told her it was not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Not until she recognized she could not approach him as one of his people and said, "Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table," did then he grant her request. In other words, when she was put herself in her proper place instead of trying to act equal with the people of Israel, he then granted her request. You see, it's the same as women today trying to be equal with man. If she would take her place as the Father wishes it to be and wills it to be, then she will have her requests granted. The blessings of peace, good government, education, sanitation, good health, prosperity and civilization can be given to those who are of other races. It is not to be given to those who would seize it for themselves, saying, "We are just as much sheep as you are. We make ourselves sheep by saying so." They must recognize Yahweh's own order of things. He gives his commandments and his instructions on how to obtain his blessings to his people Israel. We are to obey his commandments and demonstrate to the world how obedience to him has made us the have nations compared to the pagan have-not nations. If they will come unto us for instruction in his laws, we who are his witnesses will instruct them, and they can grow into civilizations as far and fast as they will obey. Russia and China have taken only our manufacturing technology, not our religion or our ideals. They have learned to make tanks, cannons, bombs, and bayonets, but the brutal, tyrannical horror they have in their lands is not civilization by any standard, Goats cannot become sheep. Funny how, you know, at this time, you know, Dr. Wesley Swift and Bertrand Comparé believed that Russia was going to attack us because they were certainly under control at that point of the Jews, heavily. It's only as of recent times, and I'm not so sure of this, but because I believe Putin has Jewish roots, but the Christian church over there, which I believe, you know, they probably believe Jesus is Jewish, is thriving. I don't really know. Maybe the Father is doing some amazing things over there. It certainly seems like a better country now than America. Yahweh's truth is eternal. It never changes with the times and fashions. The word is still true today, as he told the prophet in Amos 3, verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Now there's the one. That's the one I was wanting to find, and I couldn't find it. Amos 3, verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. It is still true, as Isaiah 63, verse 17 through 19 says, O Yahweh, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways and harden our hearts from thy fear? Return for thy servant's sake the tribes of thy inheritance. The people of thy holiness have possessed it but a little while. Our adversaries have trodden down thy sanctuary. We are thine. Thou never bearest rule over them. They were not called by thy name. Do you think this will ever change? No, for in the book of Revelation, Yahweh has given us a picture of the New Jerusalem, the eternal city of Yahweh, coming into existence to last forever. This after the millennium. And he says in Revelation 21, verse 12, this city is surrounded by a great wall, a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. There is only one way to enter into that city. It is to go in through the gate. And the only gates are the 12 tribes of Israel. We are told in Revelation 22, verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Don't apologize for being one of Yahweh's sheep, a citizen of a sheep nation. Be proud of it. Be worthy of it. And walk rejoicing in your destiny. I'd say that that's pretty hot stuff. Wouldn't you? You know, what he says at the end there really hits me is because there are people that are ashamed to speak about the Father. They're ashamed of the Father. They're ashamed to admit that they believe in the Father. But instead, he says here, don't apologize for being one of Yahweh's sheep, a citizen of the sheep nation, of a sheep nation. Be proud of it. Be worthy of it and walk, rejoicing in your destiny. You see, what he said here is important because these goats come into our nation and they say, hey, I'm a sheep. And they say they become sheep just by walking across the border. But they're not sheep. We know they're not sheep. We know they're not of us. And it's interesting that there's nothing done about it, that we don't do anything about these things, that we just let the wolves and the dogs and the pigs just surround us. Believe me, pigs can kill sheep, and so can dogs and wolves. And, you know, when you try to warn the sheep, I talked about this before, the sheep are out in the pasture feeding, and you try to tell them there's dogs about, and they just ignore you. And they just continue eating. Until one of the dogs jumps on the sheep and locks onto his flesh and brings him down to the ground, then a few sheep might say, oh, let me move over a little bit, and then they'll just continue eating. See, because it didn't affect them personally. And that's just something that's astounding to me, because we as the white race are just islands to ourselves, it seems. We used to stick together a long time ago, but now we don't. Unless anything affects us, we're not going to be for any cause or anything else. But see, whether you think it's affecting you or not, it is affecting you. It's not only affecting you, but it's affecting your offspring and the future of your country. So just because somebody hasn't bashed your door in lately doesn't mean it's not affecting you. As a matter of fact, it has a great effect on you. The middle class of America, the blessed people of Israel, is drying up. I can testify to that. Everything's drying up because people have turned their backs on the Father. You know, you got to think about it logically. Say if I was the Father, or say you were the Father, and your children began to turn their backs on you, and you love your children, but you tried to warn your children not to do things, and you tried to do everything you could to make them, give them every advantage in life, and they just completely disobeyed you, and they ended up in pits, ended up dead, ended up this way and that way, and no matter how much you warned your children, they just kept going in the wrong ways, and they ignored you. But then they had a little problem sometime in the future when they needed your help, and they came back to you for help. You wouldn't be that likely to just jump right away. You'd say, you've ignored me for a long time. Now, you may, like the prodigal son, you may rejoice that your child came to you for the help. But after a long time of the father's children turning away from him and ignoring him and being fat, dumb, and happy, he turns his ear from them or from us. And when you have a problem and come to him immediately, he doesn't just jump. He's not a genie, as I've told you. It's just that that's why I try to encourage you to remember the Father in the good times and the bad times. Don't wait until a bad time comes along in your life to acknowledge the Father's presence. Always acknowledge the Father's presence. The more obedient you are, the more you will be blessed, and the more you will, the Father will be with you. He does love you. I know that love is almost an estranged thing in this world these days. And all I can say is I know he loves you if you're one of his sheep. Don't delay. Return to him. You'll be so pleased when you do. And the Father will be pleased too. It will take a little time and you'll have to show yourself obedient. But it will be worth it. You will know, you will feel His protection, you will know His protection, you will believe and know the truth. And you will be protected from the lies because you'll be able to... See, I always talk about the fact of the real and the imitation. Once you know what the real is, when the imitation tries to impose itself on you, you can identify it because you already know what the real is. If you never spend time in the Father's Word, you don't know what the real is. And so these imitation pastors and so on and so forth, they can trick you easily. One thing that we have as a people is we are somewhat gullible. And this can be used as a weapon against us, just like we are merciful like the Father in heaven, because we are His offspring. And our mercy can be used as a weapon against us. So, what we need to do is we need to spend time with Him. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. And ask the Father to reveal. You know, as I pray lately, I ask the Father to reveal and to continue to reveal. And He does. And more is being revealed. You can hear by the different shows that there's many things that are coming to light at this point. And this is how it should be. But you see, it's because I've asked the Father and because I'm obeying Him to the best of my ability. This is what we all need to do. We have a responsibility to one another to be holy and to be committed to the Father, committed to the Word, and be on the path that leads to His kingdom. Not on the wide road that leads to destruction, but to be on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. You know, I talked about this the other day, that we had fallen in the garden. We fell. And I thought it was kind of an amazing revelation that we will rise in the end. And I didn't hear one comment about it. We will rise. We will rise because we will be overcomers. And because of what He did for us when He redeemed us, and He gave us these portions of the promises right away. The portion being the Holy Spirit, which is would be the light, the Shekinah glory, so to speak, and the promise of eternal life, the promise of the kingdom living within you. Like I said before, the kingdom is not in its fullness on this earth, obviously, right? But the kingdom lives within us because we obey. We are citizens of this kingdom. We are denizens of this kingdom. Members of the kingdom, however you wish to put it. One fellow said to me, it's inhabitants of the kingdom. Well, you see, we have that a portion of these promises now. We don't even have to wait. We just don't have it in its fullness like we did in the garden before we fell. And when we rise, then we shall be given these new bodies. See, being resurrected, when you resurrect something, it was something that was already built before, wasn't it? Let's take a look at the word resurrect. Listen to this. To resurrect. Restore a dead person to life. I don't like the word person, but okay. He was dead, but he was resurrected. Synonyms for resurrection are raised from the dead, restored to life, bring back to life, to revive. On the third day, Jesus was resurrected. To revive the practice, use, or memory of something. Bring new vigor to. The deal collapsed and has yet to be resurrected. Synonyms, revive, restore, regenerate, revitalize, breathe new life into. Let me stop right there. When we were created as the Adamic race, as the offspring of Yahweh, he literally breathed his breath into us. This resurrection, one of the synonyms says, breathe new life into. Ah, is that not interesting? Give the kiss of life to. Give a new lease of life to. Reinvigorate, to renew. So, and there's more here. Awaken. Resuscitate, wake up, rejuvenate, stimulate, reestablish our position in the kingdom, our position in eternity. Relaunch. The Father's going to have to renew the heavens and the earth. He's going to relaunch them because they've been destroyed, they've been poisoned. He's going to rejuvenate them, renovate, reinstitute his order. You understand? When the world was void and in chaos, he brought order out of chaos. That's why the Freemasons, imitators, and so on and so forth want to bring the Jew world order out of the chaos they've created, they've helped to create in the world. And so, the Father must renew, resuscitate, reestablish our position in the kingdom where we had fallen before. The sentence says, it gives him a chance to resurrect his career. And so there you have it, folks. I think that's quite interesting. And it's funny how the poisonings of this world have done so much damage to us. Let's take a quick break, and here's one of the songs from my album called The Change. It's called In the End. Lost in the rain.
guide my way. Left with wonder, I ask again a million questions of where to begin. Going nowhere and back again, way back when, in the
Welcome back to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show from DavidJamesBoston.com. Well, last time we were in Isaiah, we stopped at chapter 29. Please do open with me there to chapter 29. And we'll see what we can see as we continue in Isaiah. Woe unto Ariel, to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. Add ye year to year, let them kill sacrifices. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and I will raise forts against thee. And thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground. Very interesting. Listen to this fourth verse. Excuse me. And thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground. We know that the blood of Abel cried to the Father from the ground. I think it's very interesting, this verse. Listen. Nashab, if you will. And thou shalt be brought down, and shalt speak out of the ground. And thy speech shall be low out of the dust. And thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Very interesting. Moreover, the multitude of thy strangers shall be like small dust, and the multitude of the terrible ones shall be as chaff that passeth away. Yea, it shall be at an instant suddenly. Thou shalt be visited by Yahweh of hosts with thunder and with earthquake, with great noise and storm and tempest, and the flame of devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition, and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall be even as when an hungry man, yes, that's an hungry man, dreameth. And behold, he eateth, but he awakeneth, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh, but he awaketh, and behold, he is faint, and his soul hath appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Stay yourselves and wonder. Cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For Yahweh hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. Now that's very interesting. Because in this day and time, our people are in and have a spirit of deep sleep, do they not? And hath closed their eyes? And the prophets and rulers and the so-called seers, hath he covered? In other words, there's a veil over the whole world. There's something going on here that we can't understand how our people cannot see what we can see. The veil has been removed from us and our eyes because we are awake. But upon most of our people, there is this spirit of deep sleep, like the American dream. Remember I coined the phrase that the funny thing about the American dream is that you have to be asleep to enjoy it. You have to be in this spirit of deep sleep and have your eyes closed. Because if you were awake, you couldn't enjoy the American dream. It's a lie. The rulers can't see anything, can't even see right in front of their faces. Here they are planting seeds of their own destruction to destroy themselves as long as their and as well as their children, as well as every one of us. So you can see that their eyes are closed. And the churches, which are the false prophet, they certainly can't see anything because the Father have covered it. He's not allowing them to see anything. Verse 11, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver one to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Can you see that that's what's going on today? People can't even, they could read in a book, but they couldn't really keep attention to it. And like I testified to you before, I used to read sometimes, but not necessarily be comprehending what I'm reading. But now I read and I comprehend. You know, anybody can read a book, but are you comprehending what you're reading? And that is something that I don't know if a lot of people think about. Verse 13, wherefore Yahweh said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Boy, if that doesn't speak of America today, I don't know what does. Verse 15, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from Yahweh, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? You see, let me, this, praise the Father in heaven, praise Yahweh, for he is the Most High. There is none that compares to him. And his counsel is the top counsel that there ever could be or ever will be. See, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from Yahweh, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us, and who knoweth us? You see, the Father sees the lies. The Father knows. I swear to you that, well, I'm not going to say swear, but I tell you that these people do not believe in Yahweh. Oh, they'll say his name. They'll tell you how close they are to him. But the Father knows, the Father sees the lies. Could you be lying and preach the word of the Father? Do you hear how many times these fellows that I have proven lies on them, do you see how they talk about liars and lies all the time, but they're the liars? And they think the Father can't see this. They think that they can just say, oh, no, we didn't lie. That's not true. None of this is true. That fellow's a liar instead. They don't know that the Father sees this going on. I mean, this shows that they don't believe in the Father. It proves it. It's just like Cain when Abel told him. I remind people of this from time to time that Abel told Cain, if you kill me, the Father will see you. And Cain knew that the Father was real, yet he did it anyway. So these people, one of the fellows sings, are you really there? The Messiah, are you really there? Does that sound like somebody who knows that the Father's there and believes in the Father? Are you really there, Messiah? I mean, you know, I heard that for years, and I said to myself, every time I heard it, I said, geez, that's kind of strange to me. But then I just realized that is speaking volumes, that the fellow doesn't believe in the Father. He doesn't really believe he's there. Or else he wouldn't have said such a thing. Would you write those lyrics in a song that you wrote? No, you wouldn't, unless you didn't believe the Father was there. See, they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us? As they've been getting away with these things for years and years and years, they've been able to slip out from under the truth all this time as well. But the Father has decided he's going to take care of this now. And there's not going to be any more slipping out of it. See, the Father really does love you people. And he does not want you to be deceived. Verse 16, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of it that framed it, he had no understanding? Speaking of the Father. We are the potter's clay, correct? So what he's saying is, would we say of him that made us, he made me not? We weren't made of the Father. Or shall we say what was framed by the Father that framed it, he had no understanding? Would you say that about the Father, that he had no understanding when he made us, or that he didn't make us? Verse 17, is it not yet a very little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be esteemed as a forest? That's a question. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Let me stop right there. Again, the words of the book. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. Remember, you know, I had a brother write, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you. I think I did, but I'm not sure. Maybe on a different show. But he wrote and he said, who can turn water to wine today? Who can raise the dead? Who can make the blind to see and all these things? And I told him, well, there's really no need for us to turn water to wine in the first place. But today, we speak the word of the Father, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. And when we speak this word, this truth, the deaf begin to hear and are cured of their deafness. The blind begin to see, and they begin to understand and perceive. And after a while, the dumb shall speak. Because after hearing and perceiving and seeing, one cannot help but be overjoyed by receiving the truth, that one would want to give the truth to everyone possible. Remember when you first found out about the Father? About, you know, the truth. You wanted to tell everybody. You were so excited. I'm still excited like that now. I love to tell you the truth. I'm so happy to be doing what I'm doing. And I haven't lost the vigor, but I did for a while. I backslid because I was a Judeo-Christian years ago. And because I knew there was nothing in Judeo-Christianity. Now, I remained with the Father, but I did not know his name. And I told you about when you don't understand the book, it can be like a bondage to you. But when you seek the truth shall set you free from that bondage. And when you understand the scriptures as they really are, you become free. And you love the word, and you live the word, and you never leave the word. So get this. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. You see, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yahweh. The word is the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by the word. I am the door to the sheep. You see? And And it continues and it says, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. You see, when you are blind, whether it's blind physically or just spiritually and mentally, you're in obscurity. You're in the darkness. Though you can see around you and see objects and so on and so forth. So as I was saying, that you can see things around you physically, but you may be spiritually blind. You may be mentally blind in the sense of you don't understand. Like reading a book, you can read the book but not understand or perceive it. Verse 19, the meek also shall increase in their joy in the Father. And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. And we love the Holy One of Israel, Yahweh himself, the Heavenly Father. For the terrible one is brought to naught. Excuse me. I hit the microphone. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. That make a man an offender for a word, and that lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. These are heavy things being said right here. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale. But when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear Yahweh of Israel. You see, we speak his name, don't we? We revere his name. We have reverence. We love his name. We shout his name from the rooftops. We're not ashamed of his name. We're not ashamed of loving him. And it says in verse 24, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. I can't tell you when this time shall be, and in times past, it may be that it has occurred once or twice through history. But at this point, Jacob is ashamed. And at this point, the terrible one is not brought to nothing, and the scorner is thriving. Which is sad. It's a tough time. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. On to Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to the rebellious children, saith Yahweh, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Woe. That walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Today, the Pharaoh is this Donald Trump fellow. And the people believe that he will save the nation or something like that, and they trust in the shadow of Egypt. But this Donald Trump shall be our shame. And the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. The Egypt, the government, Egypt, you know, our people are always looking back. Like when we left Egypt, people looked back and said, we had it better in Egypt than we did out here in the wilderness. But the shadow of Egypt, or the government of Egypt, or democracy here now, is confusion. So therefore, the strength of the Pharaoh shall be your shame, and the trust of in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help, that's right, an help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent, that they will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for a time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh, lying children. Yeah. What really more can you say about that, right? This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh, and you wonder why America cannot be blessed? We give our money and treasures to other lands. Now listen, it's kind of interesting here. The burdens of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion? Where do lions dwell? On the African continent. Who are the beasts, the burden of the beasts of the south? The Negro? I mean, I'm not sure that that's what this is really talking about, but it is very interesting, nevertheless. And we bring and carry our riches to these people, and they don't profit us anything. That's what this verse is saying. Listen to it again, verse 6. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper, and the fiery flying serpent? They will carry their riches upon the shoulder of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. Does that not speak of the African continent to you? And is Egypt not on the African continent over there? I mean, let's, you know, I'm not saying that that's what this is about, but it sure is a hefty parallel. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still. And that's all Africans do is sit still. They don't work. And so, but I still believe he's talking about the people of Israel here. Because he says this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Is that not what our people wish today? When we tell them the truth, they say, no, don't tell us the truth. Don't tell us right things. That's not comfortable. You're not leaving me with a good feeling. Speak smooth things to us. Like, can't you just be positive? Can't you prophesy deceit and tell us how wonderful we are and tell us of a future that will never be? Can't you just lie to us a little and make us feel comfortable? You see what I mean? That's what it's saying. Verse 11, get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. This is exactly what, and this is verse 11, by the way. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Is that not what Edom does? This is 11 for the 11 dukes of Edom. 9 said, that is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Yahweh. Hello? Who is the rebel, the devil? Number 9. Oh no, Dave, not again. Who wishes to get us out of the way, to turn us aside out of the path that leads to everlasting life? And who wants to kick the Holy One of Israel out of our countries? It says that they cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Why? It's the devil and his children, that's who. Number 11 and number 9. Number 12, verse 12. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, the truth, the way, the life, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd, which I believe is a shard, to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, Yahweh God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. You see, if we return to the Father, we would have rest in him, and we'd be saved as a nation, or physically saved, as one of my brothers says. You see, he's saying, if you'd return to me and rest, you shall be saved in quietness and in confidence, and that would be your strength. But you would not. Verse 16, but he said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift, he says. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of 5 shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of the mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. An hill, see? And therefore will Yahweh wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for Yahweh is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Are you waiting for him? I know you are. Am I waiting for him? Absolutely. So Yahweh is a God of judgment, and blessed are all that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though Yahweh give you the bread of adversity, and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear the word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Are you hearing your teachers? Am I saying to you, this is the way, walk ye in it? The way of having a relationship with the Father rather than worshiping men and institutions? This is the way, walk ye in it. No matter which way you go, walk ye in it. Verse 22, ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say to it, get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill, rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. The towers fall. Can you say 9/11 there? Very interesting. I think it really means when the towers all over the world. I don't mean buildings, I mean the lofty. Verse 26, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that Yahweh bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Behold, the name of Yahweh cometh from afar, burning with his anger. The name of Yahweh cometh from afar. See? Burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire, and his breath as an overflowing stream. Locomotive breath. You get it? It shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the swave of vanity. Sieve. Let's look this word up, with the sieve of vanity. S-I-E-V-E. Has Eve right in it. S-I-E-V-E. A utensil consisting of a wire or plastic mesh held in a frame, used for straining solids from liquids, for separating coarser from finer particles, or for reducing soft solids to a pulp, a strainer, a sifter, a filter, a colander, a riddle, a screen, a muslin cloth, not muslim, but muslin, archaic, griddle. Use a sieve. Or a sieve. Okay, that's how it's... Okay, it says sieve. When you look at it, it says a sieve. Okay. I didn't know that's how sieve was actually spelled. Excuse my ignorance. But this is how we learn, is it not? Of course, I've heard of a sieve, but I didn't know how that was spelled. That's very interesting. So, again, let's get to this. He shall... Verse 28, let's start it again. And his breath, as an overflowing stream, shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept. In gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of Yahweh, to the mighty one of Israel. And Yahweh shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall shew the lightning down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. It's a bit like Revelation, is it not? As the thunder crashes outside my window. For through the voice of Yahweh shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which Yahweh shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. For Tophet, or Tophet, is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of Yahweh, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. I think we'll look up the word Tophet. A term for hell. Wow. Listen to this. In the Hebrew Bible, Tophet, or Topheth, which is T-O-P-H-E-T-H, you could have an H at the end. It's spelled the same way, except it has an H at the end, so it's either way. It shows the Hebrew and the Greek, etc., etc. It was a location in Jerusalem in the Gehinnom, where worshippers influenced by the ancient Canaanite religion engaged in human sacrifice of children to the gods Molech and Baal by burning them alive. I never heard this term Tophet before. It's T-O-P-H-E-T. And there we learn again. So let's see how it is. For I will use the term hell for Tophet. For hell is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared. The lightning flashed when I said that. Whoa. For the king it is prepared. Hell, obviously. He hath made it deep and large, hell. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of Yahweh, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. Hell, that is. This is verse 33, by the way. 3 times 3 is 9 again. The spiritual king of the world. For hell is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made hell deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of Yahweh, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. Heavy verse right there. Praise be to the Father. Praise him all the days of your life. Love him, worship him, care for him, obey him, be in his word, pray to him, pray for the brethren. We just finished chapter 30, and next time we can continue Isaiah in 31. I'm so pleased at what the Father does in these messages, and I just love it. I just love learning in the Father's word. I love his counsel. I'd take his counsel over any counsel there could be. If you really want good counsel, don't go to a Jewish lawyer who is a counselor of hell or Tophet. Go to the Father, rather. In other words, go to the source. I'm going to share you something that I, thanks to the Father for reminding me of this. There is one mediator between Yahweh and man, and that is Christ Jesus, the Word of Yahweh, the Word. Well, the Jehovah Witnesses have written a book that you have to go through to understand the Bible. They've made a word book become a mediator between the scriptures and you. In other words, now there's two mediators between God and man. The book that the Jehovah Witnesses wrote and Yeshua. The Word, the true Word of God. In other words, instead of going to the Word of God directly as your mediator between Yahweh and yourself, they want you to go through another book before you get to the true mediator. You see, an imitation of the mediator, a different mediator between Yahweh and man. I leave you with that thought. May Yahweh bless you. And you've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. And this is David James. And what I say to you always at the end of the show is study to show thyself approved.